Welcome to First Star Let's Chat, an athletic therapy podcast. I'm your host, James Gardner, certified athletic therapist, certified strength and conditioning specialist, yoga instructor, human being. This platform for the pros, by the pros, anybody in the performance space, and beyond. Welcome here to share in the stories of professionals, experiences, journeys, learning along the way. It's a platform to connect, to network, and to be a part of a community that cares with conversations that matter, experiences that resonate, and generate ideas, thought-provoking, organic dialogue, passionate probes. Brought to you as always by First Star Therapy, Mobility Tape, Epic, and Benchmark Athletics. In association with the Canadian Athletic Therapists Association, it's First Star Let's Chat, an athletic therapy podcast. Thanks for being here. Thank you for being a part of it. All right, back in action with Scott Livingston. Multiple times we've been on the, or had you on the podcast, and always a pleasure and always a great opportunity for myself and for our audience to chat. And tonight, a little bit more of a directive, I guess, in terms of what we're going to discuss. This came through one of our Life Labs. It was one of those conversations that, Scott hosts the Life Lab, and I'll let you talk on that as you wish as we go through this, Scotty. And as we got there, we started talking about gratitude and different ways to express that. And one of the questions we brought up was, I guess the way I posed it was originally, why wait for the eulogy, you know, to tell people how much we appreciate them or tell what they mean to us in our lives, professionally, personally, whatever the thing may be. It was one of those conversations that just sort of evolved naturally. And then as you and I discussed it sort of offline, it morphed into don't wait for the eulogy. Mm-hmm. So as opposed to a question, more of a directive, you know, in our professional space and the group that we have working is a group of really strong individual personalities and really sort of high ranking professionals in the performance space, and bouncing ideas off of them, super valuable. And that's, you know, a little plug and kudos to you for putting that together for people that have been at this for a little while. So I'll let you maybe just jump in there with the Life Lab first, a little, I don't want to call it a shameless plug. I think it's a really, really valuable piece. And then we'll circle back around to that question. But Scott Livingston, our guest once again on Let's Chat, an athletic therapy podcast. Go ahead, Scotty, take it away.
Well, speaking of gratitude, thank you for having me. And it's nice to know that I'm not boring the crap out of you so that you don't want to have me back.
No, never.
So, you know, gratitude there. Gratitude to your listeners. It's always good to touch base with people. I think it's to sort of pull the Life Lab into this discussion is to recognize really one of the primary reasons why I did it. And that is because we as human performance professionals, and I know your listenership is primarily athletic therapists, which I am one of, we're not very good at taking care of ourselves. We're really good at taking care of others. I'm really good at telling people how to take care of others or how they should take care of themselves, but not following our own rules, so to speak. And within the construct of that, we're also not very good at taking compliment or recognizing our own personal growth, taking the moments to be grateful for our circumstances, etc. And so we'll spool out of this a little bit, but the Life Lab that I created off the back of the podcast that I do called Leave Your Mark was really an ode to the concept of trying to help people in this industry do better for themselves, to take the time for themselves so that they can be their best version of themselves, and not in a kind of woo-woo, ho-ho kind of flavor of the month way, but in a real honest self-reflective practice around how am I growing? How am I contributing? Where am I going? Am I driving my bus? And am I giving myself the time to be more than just an athletic therapist? Which I use the word just doesn't mean that it's not significant, but your identity should not be wrapped up in what you are. You are innate. You have experienced the growth of becoming a quality athletic therapist. That is not your identity. It's a role you play. And you have lots of other roles that you're going to play over the distance of your life. And it's how you navigate those roles and how you grow within them and how you contribute to other people's adventures and your own adventures to be a better person. So that's kind of what the Life Lab is about. And then you brought up this kind of question of why wait till your eulogy to tell, you know, somebody else how much they mean to you or what value they've expressed to you or to be thankful for. And I think it was precipitated off the back of a conversation we were talking about, which is typical of human performance and especially sport performance, is it's very rare that anybody ever says thank you or says great job. Most of the time, if they're not yelling at you, you have to sort of realize that you are relatively respected and well thought of. And for some people, that's a challenging thing to understand. So I've said enough. I think I'll leave it there and I can elaborate and explore after you chime in with your own thoughts. But that's the background noise, I think.
Yeah, no, and a brilliant lead in as always. And you know, sometimes it's the thank you that may happen, but it's just in passing and it doesn't really either sink in or feel like it was meant or feel authentic and these kind of things. And so that's where maybe that's where we'll get to, I guess, as we dive a little deeper. But you touched on some really amazing things. I think that, you know, the crux of our professional space is to tell others or teach others or show others what to do. And if you can't demonstrate the exercise with precision, it's pretty tough to tell somebody else to do it. Yet you're exactly spot on. It's like we tell others, you got to take care of yourself. You know, we need to look out for longevity. And what gets lost a lot of the time, you know, as highlighted with the, you know, the group that I'm lucky enough to be a part of under your tutelage with the Life Lab and all of that is we do neglect the self-care piece. And I think one of the greatest tools is to know yourself. And I've spent a lot of time working with other practitioners on make sure that you're working towards not an answer with a history taking or an intake evaluation or anything like that, but generating as much information as you can so that you're aware of who is on the other side of the table. Mm-hmm. So we simply just flip that or reverse that and say, like, how well do you know yourself? Like, do you know what you need? Do you know when you're burning out? Do you know when it's starting to take its toll that nobody said thank you to you? Or can you recognize that people may be doing that in a different way, as you and I have talked about, and it may not be the way that resonates with you? And then through a professional practice that's nearing sort of, you know, 15, 16 years now on my end is, the longer I stay in this game, the more I get to know myself. And I can also begin to step back far enough and recognize that I have a role in every miscommunication that happens just as much as the other person on the other side. So how can I continue to improve and get better at that? And I mean, that's a whole lot of talking in terms of back and forth, in terms of what you touched on and what we touch on in the Life Lab with regularity. But this piece of not waiting for the eulogy, you've been a part of sport and multiple sports. You've been an independent contractor. You've been with professional teams. You've been everywhere. You educate now. You're a mentor. You're a podcast host, doing lots of things. Ever an example where you sort of felt overlooked or undermined? And again, like you touched on, I just wanted to touch maybe just before you jump in. It's just like, keeping a job for a long time in professional sport is almost like the unspoken thank you. It means you're doing a good job. And at some point you need to be able to look in the mirror and said, I was able to hang on to this with a coaching change, that person leaving, this person leaving, and I'm still here. I can continue to find a role in this space. But maybe just a personal example, and then we'll slide into this idea of how you express it or why it makes a difference to be able to communicate this with people.
Well, it's funny that you asked me that, because I think part of the nature of the Life Lab and the podcast and everything was my own internal realization over time that I wasn't finding the essence of my value in some of the things I was doing professionally up until then, because of the nature of the business. And part of that was my own fault and my own set of stories, as we talk about in the Life Lab, the things that I believed. And like, as an example, you know, one of my biggest regrets when I look back on my professional hockey career was I really didn't forge a lot of great relationships with coaches. And my story was they didn't want to have a relationship with me. They were hockey guys and I wasn't a hockey guy. And so therefore they wouldn't let me in their club. And so the problem with that story was that it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you believe that, then that's what you're going to feel when you walk into the room. And that's what's going to make the conversations awkward and the interactions awkward. And instead of being the human that I am, which is a very curious, interested person who, I think one of my greatest strengths is to be able to navigate a conversation and to sit and find things and threads. And yet I didn't give myself permission to do that with those people. And so therefore it colored my evaluation of my experience. And if I could go back and do it all over again, the biggest thing I would do differently is to simply be me and allow myself to have those conversations. In some instances, they might not allow themselves to have those conversations, but I think I would have had 70% more great conversations with people, and I probably would have had a greater experience, and maybe I'd still be there. I don't know. What I think I would have enjoyed it more because I allowed myself to be me. And the reason I tell that story is because oftentimes we're looking for something, whether it's validation or gratitude from others, because we can't be grateful for ourselves and we can't self-value. And so we're hoping somebody else will tell us. And then there's other people who struggle with being told. You're going to meet people who will say, you know, I don't take a compliment well, or I don't do well when people, you know, say nice things about me. All of this is baggage story in the background from whatever experience we've had that generates our ability to just allow ourselves to experience somebody else's thoughts about us, viewpoints about us, and also recognize that in the conversations that we have, everybody's on their own excellent adventure. And we interpret far too often somebody else's actions, their moods, their energies as being caused by us or caused by something we've said or caused by something we've done, when they have their own set of baggage and their own junk going on. And when we start to recognize that they're on their own excellent adventure and we're on ours, and we just start to navigate ours the way we want to, life changes. Right.
Yeah. Do you think there's a maturity piece there? I mean, like in looking back in your career, you come to that now and you look back and say like, man, I wish I'd had created better bonds or allowed myself to be myself a little bit more, like maturity in terms of life events or just, you know, finding a reflective practice at a certain point in your life to sort of allow yourself. Cause I mean, I've been there for a bunch of years in that pro space. And I think like, there's not a lot of, I mean, it's not pushed upon us in school or even in that space to sort of like, hey, when you get home at night, like check back in, were you yourself or were you your role all day long today? You know, like, there's one or two guys you may connect with or girls that you may connect with on a roster from like a personality side. The rest of the time you have to sort of facilitate how you fit in and how your role plays out. So I don't know if we can distinguish that.
I look at it, James, like the same way as you could look at our professional experience. Okay. Yes, there's a maturity piece to it. There's an experiential piece to it. Okay. But there are also a series of skills, methodologies, tools, et cetera, that make us an athletic therapist as an example. And so you go through school and you learn these tools and these skills and these strategies and these approaches that gives you a navigating lens to experience your experiences. imperfect as it may be and iterative as it may be, because you're going to change it, you're going to find your own twang on each thing and define it, but you're still given a set of skills to operate off of. We don't teach self-reflective practice skills, understanding how to better understand ourselves, how to set the table for our mindset in school. We never learn that. So effectively, yes, it's a maturity, but it's also a learned proposition of skills, which is what I try to bring in the program, so that you can marry the two. You can marry the experience that you have with what happened to me and why did it happen? How could I have navigated it better if I'd had this set of tools? So coming back, I think every young person should be in something like you're in with me, learning skills, but somebody who's 25 isn't going to take away from it quite what you take away from it. And isn't going to take away from it. Maybe somebody who's 10 years older than you will take away from it. Their experiences will be different based on their life experiences to that point, but they'll still have a set of tools now that they can use to navigate life and see things differently right from the beginning. Right. And that's what I think is so, like, we keep sort of making an excuse for being more self-informed, as though it is something we have to come to grips with when we're 50 or 60 years old, instead of, can we begin to organize it as a late teenage? I don't think you can really, you can be introduced to some of these things when you're in high school and stuff, but I think the mind is not in a place for that kind of cognition and that kind of expression. There may be certain mature individuals, but most of the time kids are trying to figure out who's who in the zoo and where do they sit and all this kind of stuff. But as you come into your 20s, having better tools for your experiences and your choices and your decision-making, you may still not make the right decisions, but at least you can go back and go, you know what? Maybe I should have done that differently because I did know this before this and I just chose to do different, you know, but it's just having a roadmap, a different roadmap. You know, you and I may have the same roadmap, but have a completely different vacation.
Yeah. But without the roadmap, if you don't have a roadmap or a GPS, you have no clue where you're going.
Right. At least
you
can choose. Exactly. Exactly. So that's the way I look at that. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect. Yeah, so much there. And I think sort of just even dropping those seeds for listeners that are a little bit younger is like, what the heck is self-reflection? Some people are aligned with that right away and it resonates. Some people are like, that's not that, whatever. That's not for me or whatever the thing may be. But I think lots of different ways to look at this, and it's a tool to help. I mean, when you help the self, I think you're going to help people better. When you're more aware of who and what you are, you're going to be able to relate to others in a different fashion, for sure.
If I can tell this one story real quick before you, for the listener, I would highly recommend watching Anthony Robbins' TED Talk. You just type in YouTube, Anthony Robbins' TED Talk. It's about 25 minutes long. He actually makes a joke out of the fact that he gets paid to do 3-day presentations, and doing a 20-minute talk is kind of a crunch for him. But in that talk, he talks about the 6 needs of the human being. And he goes, there are 4 needs of the personality and 2 of the spirit. The 4 needs of the personality are certainty, uncertainty, significance, and connection or love. And the 2 needs of the spirit are growth and contribution. I love this presentation because it connected the dots for me big time. And what he talks about is, in the first 4, you will tend to bias to 1 or 2 of them in the way you operate in life. So maybe you're a big significance person. So you want to get the great car, the great house, the partner, the job, the whatever. Certainty, you're just, you know, the OCD person. Everything has to be tickety-boo and da-da-da-da. Or the uncertainty person, the person who's all over, you know, adrenaline junkie, who knows what's going to happen, the squirrel suit, etc. And then the connection person, the love person, is a person who's in and out of relationships. Always relationships are the big circle of their life. What he says in that is that they're like buckets with a hole in the bottom that you keep pouring significance water into or certainty water into. You will never feel absolute certainty, absolute significance, absolute uncertainty, absolute connection. You will never feel fulfilled by filling that those buckets. Where you will feel fulfillment is in your in the two spirit-centric needs, which are growth and contribution. And the reason why I wanted to tell this story is when you said that thing about, well, some younger people will be like, well, what is reflection, self-reflection? I look at that word the same way you do, because a lot of people express it in a way that's not tangibly understandable. It sounds woo-woo. Go on, go meditate. Ooh, you'll figure yourself out. No. So here's what I've recently learned, and I shared it with you in our meeting just a little while ago, about what I think self-reflection is. It's understanding the power of the past, present, and future, and what they mean to your growth and contribution. So past informs you of where you've grown from. So if you are reflective, you connect with and understand how you've grown. You are aware of it. You become informed by your history. Not biased by it, but simply informed by it. And you recognize what holes you have, what you haven't experienced, what you want to experience, what you were challenging experiences, how it helped shape you. That's the past. It gives you that information about who you are now and maybe where your gaps are and what you can be better to become. Future is your vision of what is possible for you, and it informs you of your potential for growth. What would you like to grow towards? Where are the gaps that you have that you would like to fill and express and explore? That is the future. The present is, what are you doing now? What are you feeling now? What are you connected to now? Who are you with now? What is the conversation you're having now? And then within all of that fabric is, what is your contribution to others, to your family, to the people that matter to you in the process of your growing? So if your growth meets a form of contribution, how does my growth contribute to others' growth and exploration or betterment? And you're connected to that. That is going to fill your bucket. Mm-hmm. That's when you're going to feel your best. Now, it's an imperfect process, but that is self-reflection. That is you recognizing the power of this information so that it helps you shape who you want to become, how you are behaving now, and who you've been in the past. So to me, that's my current iteration for what self-reflective practice is. And I hope it maybe provides to the listener a little bit more kind of density to the topic, rather than go meditate and think about the wonderful experiences of the world around your brain. You know, like I'm not down on meditation, but I think sometimes it's provided to people as a source of how you're going to somehow find yourself. And I think unless you have some form of mechanism to actually truly reflect, it's just a lot of empty space that you force yourself to try to be comfortable in, right?
Sure. And the capture of your language, as you stated, is the current iteration. Like, that can change. And I think that idea of, you know, growth and contribution, but in the spirit side or spirit's needs side of things, as the topic goes, but that growth mindset of just being okay that things are going to change, and okay that my current state or iteration isn't going to be the same tomorrow, the next day, 4 months from now, and being a little bit more fluid with that. And again, comes mm-hmm. with maturity, comes with experience, comes with experiential knowledge and, things gained in professional world or otherwise, relationships and so on and so forth. And this growth and contribution also kind of spins it right back to where the question lies. Personally, for me, personal growth has gone, you know, all kinds of different ways. And one of those ways is now being in a position where I'm working with others and on a, I guess on like a linear scale, I'm on top. So I'm a leadership role where I have other people that quote unquote work for me. I say more like we work beside each other. I just have the title because I don't know, I've been here longer or whatever. Somebody said that you should have this name or whatever the thing is. But the idea of, for me, the growth is Contributing to others by supporting them with their growth allows me to grow. It also allows me to contribute to the entirety. And in doing so, they do the same back to me. So it's this reciprocal relationship. But one area that I think was highlighted for me in leaving a professional organization where, you know, it had nothing to do with the relationship within the organization when I was leaving, but I had no idea what my role meant, what the job that I had done with this organization, maybe a small idea with certain interactions here and there. But it took the last night that I was with the organization and sort of the director of sport for that sport and that organization, you know, saying, stopping mid-sentence and sort of doing this public, like, thank you for the work you've put in. And we didn't know what to expect and when, da, 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 da. And that like was almost embarrassing for me. I'm one of those people that's not great at taking thank yous. But when I heard it, I was like, holy cow, I wonder if I had known that that was my value this whole time, or the perceived value in the circumstance, I should say, if that would have made me work in a different way or be truer to those pieces that I was, you know, when I was myself, or, you know, like you had mentioned, not that I felt like I was pretending at all, but at the same time, I think that really boosted me up, but I was on my way out. And so I take that with me as I go forward, and I've reached back and really been grateful for that experience and grateful for those people and grateful for all of these pieces that have kind of led there. But it really begs the question in my head is like, we always wait until somebody's on the way out to say thank you. Retirement party, and eulogy may not be the right term, but like a retirement party, you know, whatever, a eulogy after somebody's passed and they don't even get to hear it. So from that end, you highlighted a lot of things during our lab where we talked about, well, just because they're not necessarily saying it with words or saying it or doing the thing that you think is gratitude for your role, they may be showing you in other ways. And that really opened my eyes to sort of like, wow, I've maybe thought of that, but I've never spent a lot of time saying like, that's right, I'm me, you're you, you have your way of doing things, I have my way of doing things, and all of the experiences that have led to those points. Run with that, because I think that was
really for me. Yeah, it's it comes out of this backfill of the idea of, you use the word reciprocity. So I think we have these expectations of what that reciprocity looks like. And we then create an image of what gratefulness or gratitude should be. And we don't allow ourselves to actually recognize gratefulness or gratitude in so many different ways that it expresses itself, and on a timeline that may not be ours to determine. So, and this, you asked me about, is this a maturity thing? I think this is something that I've realized in my old age, so to speak, that I probably could not have spoken of at 30 years old or 25 years old. But for the person listening, the nature of some human beings is not to be theatrical or momentary in the expression of gratitude, but to be expressive through action or support or contribution to you. So first rule of thumb is that everything you give must be given without an expectation for reciprocity. Now, fair enough, I think there are circumstances, most certainly, where people take advantage of you or are takers. And there is a time and a place to evaluate the takers in your life and to disembark from those relationships, most certainly. And I think when you really get down to the brass tacks of the evaluation of that, most of us can recognize the true takers. But then there's the people who they're just not overt expressionists of that. They don't use the words thank you or wonder, you're wonderful, or I'm very grateful, or give you the big hug or whatever. But they're the people working in the background that you never see when you get this next job opportunity, or you get the promotion, or you're given the latitude to make a decision that normally wouldn't be given, you wouldn't be given, or to make a mistake you normally wouldn't be given the latitude to make. Those are things we don't recognize, where, you know, somebody in a superior position, you know, people in the AT business, you've got a coach or a higher administrator, you know, you make a mistake and they don't call you on it. Or when they call you on it, it's simply to sort of remark so that everybody else knows they noticed, not so much to throw you under the bus. So when those things happen, you have to recognize that that's a form of gratitude. That's them saying to you, I respect you, I trust you, I value you, I'm going to give you this space. You made a mistake. The world's not going to end, you know? And those are harder to evaluate. They're harder to see, because we're usually, when we make a mistake or something challenging is happening, we're in such a state, our mindset is in such a state that it's disconnected from that reality, right? So it doesn't necessarily see it as the benefit of the moment, right? And sometimes we have to put tons and tons of our own input in to get that output, which might change your life. Like an example would be, let's say, you know, you did an incredible work for a team to the point you just made, right? So on the external expression, they threw a party for you or whatever. They said, hey, great job, James, da da da. But knowing the people that I know at that organization, if the day comes that you decide you want to go and work for, you know, the Memphis Grizzlies or something like that, and there's a great job to be the performance director, whatever it is, okay, you can bet money the guy who ran that organization will give you the best reference you'll ever get. That's gratitude.
Right.
Or he'll open a door for you to something that you never expected you could get the door open towards. Yeah. That's gratitude, right?
Yeah. A little bit more covert than sort of this overt, you know, demonstration. And I think maybe I get lost in sort of the idea of the context of the question. It's more it's certainly gratitude, but it's also the appreciation and just letting people know that they matter in your life, you know, and that they matter in your space. Working with teenagers now, this is like full 360, and you know what you're going to get and what you're not going to get, but you know, and sometimes it's the kid who's bright and happy every day and make sure he says good morning and hello and goodbye and all the things and thank you every day. But it's also the kid who stays, you know, once in 2 weeks to tidy up, when that's their way of saying, you know, maybe thank you or maybe just I appreciate the space or whatever the thing may be. So I'll put it out there just as like a task for the ATs in the space or the people in the performance space, because you know, we hear it all the time in the space, is a thankless job. The hours are tired and, you know, the hours don't stop. It's nonstop. I'll just throw the challenge out there is look for the little signs and see what you can write down in the course of a week in terms of what other people do to try and help you out with your role. Cause I think that's a big one, buddy. And you highlighted that in our smaller group meeting. And obviously through this as well, it's like, you know, who offers to carry your bag for you, set your table up for you, hang out, walk you to your car. You know, those little things aren't because, I mean, they're not thank yous, I guess is kind of the way we want to go. So, just maybe a spillover into sort of that appreciation piece and ways that we can sort of thank the people around us or show people or be aware enough that not everybody's going to receive that the same way. So if I have three people that work for me and one of them really appreciates like public acknowledgement in front of people, one of them may not appreciate that at all and would like something, you know, like behind a closed door on when it's just the two of us chatting at the end of a day, and then the other one may like some hybrid or some other way. Like how would you sort of capture that for the therapist in the room, the performance professional in the room, on a communication?
Well, it's interesting. I'm doing a presentation tomorrow online called Reconstructing ACL Rehab, and one of the things I'm going to present is a concept I learned from a good friend of mine, Matt Jordan, who's a great PhD strength conditioning coach, one of Canada's finest guys in that industry. And he presented a kind of, I don't know how to describe it, but an image to sort of express the idea of mitigation of injury risk. And basically it's three buckets. One bucket has, probably 50 red chips in it and 50 blue chips. The middle bucket has 30 red chips and 50 blue chips. And the last bucket has 5 red chips and 50 blue chips. So what he talks about is in your process of working with your athlete to prepare them, you want to check as many boxes of preparation so that you are slowly removing red chips from the bucket, the ones that are potential instigators of disruption or injury. And so what you're doing over time is you're mitigating the possibility of injury. You're not necessarily preventing it, but you're reducing the possibility of incidents by checking as many preparation boxes as possible. So in the same way, how are you mitigating the incidence of being ungrateful? So, you want people to say thank you to you. Do you say thank you to them? Do you reach out and go out of your way to express thanks to people? Like one of the things from the Leave Your Mark podcast that I do, and you experienced it, is I take a card and I write a personal note and I send it to the person to say thank you for being on my podcast. I would say 95% of the time, I rarely hear back from the person that they received the card. And that's inconsequential to me. But 5% of the time, I'll get a tweet or a post or a picture, or they'll send something back, or they'll say, thanks for him. I really appreciated that. And I know 100% of the time, people go, wow, that's very nice. Some people make a point to say thank you to my thank you. Some people say nothing. That doesn't mean that it didn't get received. But I know most certainly it probably made an impression.
Yeah.
That's the key, is like, if you keep thinking about the reciprocity all the time, you won't do these things. But you have to do them without the intent of reciprocity. I don't send a card because I think somebody's going to send me a tweet with, look at what Scotty sent me. That's not what I care about.
Yeah.
I don't even care if they even acknowledge it. I just want them to know I was thankful.
Yeah.
Then every so often when I get some reciprocity, hey, that's cool, right? So that's what's important, is say thank you without expecting them to say thank you. But I bet you if you say thank you enough, they end up turning around and saying thank you to you.
Yeah.
Because it's not in everybody's nature. Is that right? I don't know. Like, not everybody gets taught the same set of values and have the same value compass. Or to my point earlier, they may look at gratitude in a different way of expression. And so theirs is not an overt, but it's a covert expression. And so you have to sometimes look for what it means afterwards. It might be like, this all started out of the idea of love languages. And we were talking in the workshop in our program about love languages. And, as an example, like my wife is somebody who she watches her the way she spends her money and where she spends her money, et cetera. So at Christmas time, she will, when I get something from her, I know she thought about that because she felt it was going to mean something to me. Whereas I will go out shopping and get a whole bunch of stuff and here's your gifts. And I think about the value of it to them, but there's a different nuance to it. So I might give her something that's worth $200 or $400, and she might give me something that's worth $50 because of a difference in the way we evaluate things. But hers has the thought, mine has the value expression, right? Neither is worse or better.
Right.
Right. Yep. But if you're somebody whose valuation is on amount, you're going to think this was stingy. You see? And so it's really key that we also understand what is the thought process behind this person and what they're doing, you know? They may not have the means or the method or the ability to do, but what they did, they you know, gave you a couch to sleep on. They made a meal for you you didn't expect. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you know?
Yeah,
I remember one time, here's an example, like we have a great physician who is our what's the physician for your kids again? I lost my a pediatrician. Our pediatrician is a wonderful pediatrician. We came, you know, he often will take us because we met him through when I was working with the Canadians, and he will often take us at lunchtime. So guess what we did to Shore thanks to him? We brought him lunch without him knowing it. You should have seen his face. Way more than saying, thanks a lot, Doc. I appreciate you seeing us at 12 noon. So I can say thank you, but it doesn't mean anything like me thinking of him and buying him lunch, knowing that he probably doesn't have a great lunch because he always takes the time to take care of people during his lunch, right? So we have to learn that gratitude comes in all kinds of different forms and to look, to seek to learn about it, understand it, and feel it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Gratitude, appreciation, and sort of, you talked about pulling threads out of conversation. And the one thing that keeps, I don't know, the thread that I'm pulling through this is the authenticity piece and just sort of living true to you. If you know what you are and what you stand for and have, you know, a values compass or a moral compass that you can sort of always come back to and always have an iteration of for the current state place that you are, you can live authentically and people will feel that more than the big hoopla or the lunch or the thing or the other. The more authentic we can be, the better version of ourself that we are. Again, that becomes, I think, more relatable, and the human nature or the spirit navigates that energy, I think, in the universe differently than something that you can read through if it's a little bit more surface based, right? Yeah, so interesting.
Well, even, you know, like people, like goes back to that we talk about in the program, the three currencies, right? Time, energy, and money. We dismiss time a lot, you know, like
have anymore.
When somebody takes time with you, you know, when I ask somebody for time on my podcast, that's important. That's value that they may be taking away from their family, from their work, from things that they enjoy doing. That's got huge value. Like somebody says, yes, no problem, Scott, I'll do this. You know, like, yeah, I'd love to have a conversation with you. That does not go unvalued from my perspective. Like, and they may never say thank you to me or whatever in some other set of circumstances, but they gave me an hour of their time, you know? And it's that kind of thing that we don't always recognize, you know, or your boss says, yeah, come in and sit down. You know, like we get bent out of shape that, oh, we don't get to talk to the boss for very long. Da, 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 da. Do you know how many people want to talk to the boss? You're working for a team and you go into the coach's office and, oh, he didn't really have a lot of time for me. Are you effing kidding me? Do you know how many people want to talk to that guy every day?
Right. Or how many,
like, I work for the Montreal Canadiens. They have to do two press conferences a day. They have, you know, their meetings, their da da da. So I'm lucky if I get 5 minutes with them, you know?
Yeah. So it comes in all forms, right? And I think it is just expressing to those around you that they matter in whatever form is authentic to you, but not waiting until it's too late, not waiting until they're leaving or you're leaving or something like that. I think taking the time when it presents itself in that authentic manner to let others know that they matter, that they count, and that you appreciate what they're doing. And maybe a good way to leave it, I think we could go on for hours and hours here, and I don't know, I hope our listeners can take some of this and reach out to you, reach out to me, reach out to the Leave Your Mark podcast. Amazing, always great guests with you, you're hosting it and doing that. The life lab that you offer for professionals at various realms of, for various stages of the careers, in the professional working space, in the performance space, therapists, strength coaches, practitioners of all walks of life. I think it's, there's huge value add there, and conversations like these where, no, we don't teach it in school, but maybe this podcast gets in somebody's ear while they're still in school. And that becomes a seedling mm-hmm. that can be watered through their career and doing that, you know, as we go. So, parting words, I'll thank you openly and really appreciate you as a friend, a colleague, a mentor, all of those things. And for your time, obviously, in coming on here and sharing your time, your wisdom and stories and all of the things that I value truly to a very high level. And let's keep doing this. I think these conversations matter for not only for me on my side, you know, that contributes to my growth. And I hope gives something back to you as well in terms of what you take away. But for our audience, certainly. So Scott Livingston, mm-hmm. our guest again tonight, I'll leave you with it to close it out however you wish. But from my heart to yours, I really appreciate it as always. And, you know, I'm looking you in the eyes through the computer. But I think, you know, again, this makes a difference in my life, being able to have people like you around that we can have conversations that make a difference to me. And I know that that's going to make a difference to at least one other person out there. So really appreciate it, Scotty, and over to you to close it out.
Well, I think to put a stamp on what you started this by saying, you know, don't wait till, you know, your dying days to say thank you. And I think we went through a lot of different iterations of what that means or what it could mean. But I think the overt expression of that is still a very important thing for people to take away. It, you know, to your best ability, thank people for what they give to you, you know, it and take the time before it's too late or before they actually say I'm leaving to say, you know, what they mean to you or how important they are to you. And that's the same in your relationships. Like, tell your kids you love them. Tell your wife you love them. Tell the people that you care about you love them. You know, don't wait for them to interpret it. You know, make it uninterpretable in some sense, right? And to you, I thank you in the biggest way possible. Like from the moment that I first met you in Quebec, when I walked in to your lecture and you took the time to come back and say hello to me and you know, and ever since we've had a friendship and a connection, and I value that, and it's a wonderful part of my life, and glad you took the time to be a part of the program, because I think it's good for you and it's good for me. So thanks for coming.
We'll talk soon. All right.
All right, buddy.
It's Let's Chat, an athletic therapy podcast. Our guest for the umpteenth time, and we'll keep doing it, Scotty. Scott Livingston, reach out. You can check him out on Leave Your Mark, his podcast that he hosts, and Reconditioning, where you can find them online, reconditioning.com, I believe. And then the Life Lab is that for those that are interested, check that out as well. It's for working professionals, people in the space that can get a lot more out of yourself than you know with this value of sitting down with other people that are in similar circumstances or different places in the world, and just sharing ideas and knowledge and conversation like this that just doesn't seem to stop. So all the best for the evening. We'll talk soon. Thank you so much.
Man. Yeah, take care.
Thanks again for being here. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this community. Check us out online, firststartherapy.com. That's FIRSTAR therapy.com. Or email us with feedback, consult@firststartherapy.com. consult@firststartherapy.com. On Instagram, @firststar.therapy. And our podcast host, @letschat.at. This is First Star Let's Chat, an athletic therapy podcast.